All right, thanks for joining us for this rescheduled session. We appreciate your coming to attend. And we are, the setup back here is for the cryptographic module game program, which will take place immediately following this session. It's going to be a fun game show event. We did it last year. Got great feedback, so stick around. There'll be drinks as well. There'll be a bar outside, so don't miss that. I want to introduce our speaker, Emao. She's the lab manager with AdSec. They've been a great supporter of the event, so please welcome Yi.
Thank you for your introduction, Bill. Thank you so much for coming here, even though it's not printed on this programming handbook. It's on this loose piece of change notice, but you are here. I really appreciate this effort. Well, I'm going to talk about what type of module am I, and hope at the end of the presentation you can tell me what type of module am I. I will start with the definition of five types of module in the FIPS 140-2 standard, and demonstrate the troubles with hybrid module through a video clip. Then we will discuss the problems of the processor algorithm accelerator as it was defined and handled in the old implementation guidance 1.21. But the good news is that processor algorithm implementation is introduced to the new IG 121, which is just published last week, May 10th, to address the problem in the old IG 121. And then I will continue with some suggestions to improve and update the IG 1.9, which is related to the issue that I'm going to demonstrate. And I hope with all the suggestions being adopted, IGs being updated, we can have a happy ending in the end. So all the vendors who put in the money and the time and work with the lab go through a challenging process. The end goal is to put your product on this list, the NIST validated FIPS crypto module list. And on the list, there's a column indicating the module type. And of course, not all these five modules appears in such an order. I did some surgery, right? I cut and paste and stitch them together so that you can see in the red rectangle, I have representatives for each type of module. So there's a hardware module, software module, firmware module, software hybrid module, and firmware hybrid modules. You can ignore all the other informations on the slide. I realize this is a busy slide, but the intention of this slide is just to show you that there are five types of modules identified for the validation process. When you start the validation, one of the very first couple of questions that the lab would ask you is, what kind of module are you going to validate? What type of the module? Is it software module, hardware module? Kind of question. Regarding how to read a FIPS certificate, we will have another presentation tomorrow, Friday morning, 10:40, I believe, by my colleague, Swap Nila. But you may ask, where is it rooted? In which chapter, where does standard say that the modules are classified into five different categories? And if you read the FIPS 140-2 standard and do a global search, you actually have nowhere to find the word of hybrid. All I can say is this particular section 4.1 regarding the crypto module specification, and that paragraph describes a crypto module should be a set of hardware, software, firmware, or some combination thereof that implements the crypto functions or the processors, including the crypto algorithms and optionally key generation, and is contained within the defined crypto module boundary. So the combination of some sort now is kind of derived to be a hybrid module. And I think the spirit of this paragraph was basically saying when it comes to the crypto implementation, the implementation can be done in the hardware or software or firmware or combination of some sort. So this is the only place you can find in the standard itself that links back to the five types of the module on the validation list. And I notice, I hope you agree with me, there is a gap between what is in reality on the validation list versus what the standard says. And of course, the implementation IG comes handy. The standard itself is only 69 pages, and the implementation guidance, the most recent version, is 216 pages. So implementation guidance give lots of interpretations and try to close the gap, and from here to derive five types of the modules. Okay, and then we are going to look into one type after another. So what is actually a hardware module? According to the definition of the term given by the standard, it's nothing, I would say, astonishing, nothing surprising. So hardware is physical equipment within the cryptographic boundary used to process programs and the data. But keep in mind that it was supposed to process a program of the cryptography and the data related to the crypto algorithms or key generation. But in reality, if you look at the validation list, I picked some examples and put pictures here. The hardware module can be, let's say, HSM, a server, a network appliance, and it can be a small USB token, or even smaller, a single chip embedded in a larger device. And the observation from the examples of the validated module, the common features that we can see for the hardware modules are they all have a tangible physical enclosure that what makes them to be a hardware module. And the logical boundary by default is the same as a physical boundary. There's a cross in the DTR and the standard as well. You may exclude some component from that enclosure, but whatever inclusion you are going to do, you have to be very clear about what you are excluding and justify that the component you are excluding actually has no security impact on the remaining portion of your hardware module or anything within the boundary of the module boundary. And they may contain software and the firmware components, and very often they actually do contain the physical software firmware components. Physical modules are not really only the hardware module, not only the tangible physical piece. It need to have a brain, have the firmware software to drive it, to make it work. And they implement not only crypto functions, but also non-crypto functions. And when I look at these examples of the validated hardware module, believe it or not, the functions they provide, actually, most of them not crypto functions. Crypto, yes, provide all the primitives. And I think the previous talk was saying that the security is like an onion. You have many layers. And deep down in the core, yes, there's crypto used. But from the crypto algorithms you wrap it with your protocols, with applications, and when it comes to the entire physical enclosure, really there's so many lines of the code and the components not crypto related. But still, when it comes to the FIPS validation, that module is classified as hardware module for the reason that it has a tangible physical enclosure. Now, what is a software module? By definition, software module is programs and the data components within the cryptographic boundary, usually stored on erasable media that can be dynamically written and modified during execution. So the keyword is they're stored on some media that the code can be changed, can be modified. And the IG-116 provides interpretations, additional explanations for the software module. And I'm going to just put a brief list here. There's a lot more in the IG. First of all, since it's a software module, then the where is the physical boundary? Software module, it's a piece of the binary code. The standard always have a notion of the boundary and leaning towards the physical boundary. So when it comes to the software module, the physical boundary is the platform in which the software and the underlying operating system reside. The logical boundary, which is more important for the software, and it is the software that implements the crypto functions. The software load test is applicable if the software module itself can bring in more components during the execution time. Physical security may not be applicable, so that I put in green. It's a good news for the vendors. If you want to declare the physical security, you can do so by implying that the physical boundary of the of the software module is the platform on which it runs. So the physical security of the platform will become the physical security of that software module. The power on integrity test has to be performed by an approved method. Approved methods such as digital signature, like a DSA signature verification, ISA signature verification, or a keyed hash. And the rationale behind that is software module is supposed to be executed in the modifiable environment and to prevent from intentional changing of the code. Stronger integrity is required. The observed feature of the software where you don't actually see it explicitly said in the IG is that their operational environment is modifiable. And their physical security, the electromagnetic compliance rely on their underlying platform. In the recent update, the FIPS Annexus B sets a limit for the FIPS validation level for the software module. And it is very explicitly stated that software module can only be validated up to security level 2. The reason for that is the Annexus B provide list of the approved protection profile for the underlying operational environment to meet in order for a software module running on top of it to be validated at level 2. And nowadays, NIAP protection profile do not use the EAL levels. In the past, the requirement was that if you want to have the software level 2, then your underlying OS has to be EAL 2. If it's level 3, then EL3, level 4, EL4, kind of have that mapping. But the EL levels no longer exist for the NIAP PP, and only the NIAP PP are listed in the Nexus B. If you want to have the software level 2, you will have to have an OS to be fit, to be CC evaluated and NIAPPP compliant. So because of there are no EL levels, that's why the software can only be validated at level 2. And I want to say that for an independent reason, historically, even if it's not explicitly written in the standard or in the IG, the software module has always been only validated up to level 2, because for level 3 and 4, the physical security plays a crucial role in the FIPS validation, and the software module does not have its own physical protection. It relies on the underlying platform. And when it comes to the platform, the level 3 is really something not software can control. And that was the reason that software, if you look at the validation list, you will not find any single software module that has been validated at level 3 or 4. The highest level has always been level 2. But the explicit statement from an NexusB, I think, is still helpful, even for a different reason. Now, what is the firmware? For the developers that we work with, the vendor, for them, it's the same software, firmware. They always say, why you call it firmware? It's software. It's written in C code. When it comes to the FIPS validation, we have to speak, let's say, FIPS language or the CMP dialect, even though the language is still in English. And it's not about what programming language you use to develop your final binary code. It's more about how your binary code is executed, in what kind of environment. If your programs and the data component that implements the crypto, they stored in ROM, PROM, EPROM, WPROM, or Flash, where they cannot be dynamically modified, then that piece of the code is considered as firmware. And the IG13 gives the designation of the firmware. Let's say even a software module, it is a software from the developer's perspective. But if it is running on a limited operational environment, then for the purpose of the FIPS validation, it is actually called a firmware. Okay? So when we work with the vendor, you know, they use firmware, software interchangeably and have a tendency of use software, that's fine. And here's where we are. We as a lab do our due diligence, we do all the translations, make sure that terms are used correctly. So now because of that exception, firmware is treated differently from the software. And for firmware, when I put the black line in the bullet, meaning that they have actually treated in a similar way as a software. So the physical logical boundary definition is the same as for a software module. And here the firmware load test is applicable if more pieces of the firmware component can be loaded after the module starts. But now here's a red line. The physical security is applicable for a firmware. For software, it is optional. You know, you can choose it's applicable where it actually relies on its underlying operational environment. But for the firmware, it's mandatory that the physical security is applicable. Since the firmware is assumed to be executed in a restricted environment, limited, not modifiable, limited or not modifiable, so the integrity check requirement is loosened. The integrity check can use error detection code like a CRC 16. The minimum error detection code length is 16 bits for the power on integrity check. And as an implication, their OE is limited or non-modifiable. So that is different from the software. And very often, how do you choose? What will be the best approach when you have to think, should I define my module as a software module or should I define my module as a firmware module? It's very much really depending on what level you want to go. If you want to go the level 2 and if it's software module, then you need to have the CC certificate with a PPE compliant, which is often very difficult to achieve. And if level 2 is a mandatory thing, so you may better consider do the firmware at level 2, lock down your operational environment. That would be the way to go. So now the hybrid. The software hybrid inherit both the software aspect and the hardware aspect. So the hybrid is for the software and hardware hybrid. And the keywords here, I'm not going to read everything. I just put there so that you have the reference. And if you look back the standard, you know exactly where to look for. And it's IG19 gives the definition. So for the hybrid, you need to have a disjoint piece of the hardware that helps the algorithm processing to the software. So a hybrid crypto module implements as disjoint hardware and the software components. That is different from you define a hardware module within which you may have some software or firmware, okay? So hardware module as an enclosure can have its own software and firmware running within it. But for a hybrid, it's disjoint. Your software piece is running on general purpose computing platform maybe, but in addition to it, you have a special purpose hardware to help with the crypto functions. And the physical security requirement is for the hardware component, it's applicable. Because of its software module, then you need to have the strong integrity check. And for the software component, its OE is modifiable. But since that is considered as one module, even with two different components or more components, the keys and the CSPs transferred between the components of a hardware module, maybe in plain text. All right, that is a good news for vendor. But the special requirement for the hybrid module is that it only be validated at level 1. We have already looked software, the highest you can go is level 2. It's already low enough, right? But when it goes to the hybrid, it gets downgraded one more time. The only thing you can do for the FIPS validation is a level 1 hybrid module, if it is a hybrid module. It's only level 1. For the firmware hybrid, it's very similar. You know, the notion is you need to have a disjoint piece of the hardware component and the firmware component. And it inherits the features from its firmware component and also the features from its hardware component. Okay? And the same deal here. As long as it's hardware module, as long as it's a hybrid module, the highest level can be validated is level 1. So now with all these notions, definitions that we went through for the hardware, firmware, software hybrid of two sorts, I'm kind of putting all the pictures together to represent these notions in a more visual way. And you may ask, yeah, that is a happy family portrait. What's wrong with these definitions? Seems like reasonable, okay? But let me give you a story about what trouble it can be. Okay. And I hope it will work. The sound is not very loud, huh? Can you hear the sound? Can you hear the sound? Now let me put a pause. Actually, I tested. When I tested, the sound was very good. Maybe there's a switch. The sound should come from the microphone here. Right now, it's from the projector. It's not loud. Well, otherwise, what I can do is maybe use that hand microphone for my... maybe I just use over there.
Okay.
Okay. Play.
Start off exciting with a durable performance by Butch Ironspine at the Hardware Hockey Rink. He demolished the opposition. Yes, he is so quick and strong. Then, of course, we had some excitement when Raz Lightning set a new world record for firmware emergency. What speed and performance. Then we saw Axel McFive taking gold in the Software Hybrid Speed Skating event. He really got a push there at the end from his new equipment. And finally, Racy Chipman nailed the firmware hybrid snowboarding event with a fast and versatile performance. Good show, Racy! But of course, all eyes are now on Lieber Versatila, who showed an astounding performance at the Software Figure Skating semifinal 2 days ago.
It looks like something is wrong, Jim. I can't hear the music. Oh, the officials seem to have concerns about Libra's skates.
Yes, it looks like they're inspecting your equipment right now.
Oh, this is bad news. It looks like Libra has been disqualified from the software event and will be forced to register in the software hybrid module category, all because of the advanced functions of her skates.
Oh, this must be so disappointing for the young athlete.
Here comes her coach, Zach Chester. It looks like he's arguing with the judges. We will find out details from our on-site reporter and get back to you after a short break. Stay tuned!
Okay. So you see the problem, right? So what's wrong with Libra's skates? Thank you, Rena. Thank you. Well, a software module has dependency on its underlying operational environment. And for the fixed validation, the environment always includes the processor, CPU, and the operating system. And nowadays, an advanced processor may have the built-in acceleration functions. And these acceleration functions can be some simple mathematical construct or partial algorithm implementation, or in some occasions, the complete algorithm implementation. And here's where the trouble begins. The dividing line between the software module and the software hardware hybrid module became blurred. How much you really depending on your underlying CPU and how much CPU can help you for the crypto functions. The analogy goes here is Libra is a software library module and a pair of skates representing a platform on which a software runs. The imaginary problem, as we see in the video clip, is that when the Libra wearing different types of skates, wearing and she has a different qualification, when she wears the less advanced skates, she can compete in figure skating event. However, if she wears advanced skates, she must compete in a speed skating event. The real-world problem for the module validation is that if your software module is running on a less advanced platform, then the module is software. However, now with the power of the processor and people want to have the speed and performance for the crypto modules, when the software module runs on a more advanced platform, all of a sudden the module became a hybrid module. So we have seen that Libra cries. Now it's a term that vendors cry, right? The CMVP rule is that if a different type of the module, they must be certified in different validation. And the consequence for that rule is, you know, the same software module, when it runs on the different platform and the platform have a different power to help with the crypto functions, then it implies you need to split your validation, even for exactly the same version of the software, but your platform is different. And that means more NIST fee because it's multiple validation, and more lab fee, we have to do our multiple sets of the reports, and the longer certification time and the multiple effort for the future revalidation when it comes to maintain the validity of your certificates. And the problem with the old IG is that the IG defined the mathematical construct versus a complete algorithm implementation. If it's the only partial implementation, that's okay, that's good. It's called the PAA, processor algorithm accelerations, and no extra documentation is required, and your software can still define it as a software module. But if your underlying processor provided the complete algorithm implementation, it's called a non-PAA, and the complete documentation for the processor will be required, including the high-level design language that will cause the trouble. Okay. The IG 121 is trying to address only for the algorithms that get help from the processor a little bit, not as a full implementation of the algorithm, but partial. So for everything that you can declare it's a PAA, that is good. And they provide the instructions, and I'm going to going forward just to give you a taste of it, how it looks. I'm not going to read it through. So the key words here is if the software module need to exclusively utilizing the PAA capability, it's still a hybrid module. But if it can run without the hardware accelerator or with the hardware accelerator, then it remains to be a software module. But regardless, as long as you are using a PAA, whether you are labeled as a software or software hybrid, you are not required to give the design information of the processor. Okay, so the dividing line is really the previous slides, you know, whether it's PAA or not PAA. Once it's a PAA, yes, there's some paperwork to do to declare whether it's a hybrid or software, but not a material distinction. And there's a certain way how the certificate should show for the firmware. For the hybrid, you need to say the processor version number, chip version number. For the software, you do not have to do it, but for the software, you do have to indicate it can run with PAA and without PAA. Okay. But then the old IG 121 and also give you a list of the processors that qualified to be claimed as PAA, and the list was quite short. It only has the Intel processor with ASNI and the Oracle processor, Spark. But the vendor and the lab can contact the NIST to add more things. It takes time for them to make a decision whether certain feature of the processor is a PAA or not. Okay. But the root cause here, I want to share with you my opinion, is that the granularity of the PP function is not really truly reflected in that IG. In the reality, you would have, you know, some very simple math may not even have anything to do with the cryptography. And then some math construct that helps with algorithm implementation. And some simple PAAs or more complex PAAs, and when the spectral go to the right end, it will have the full implementation of the algorithm. Okay. So now the updated IG 121 does try to bring, embrace the notion of the processor algorithm implementation. Okay, if you are using PAI, it can be also treated under this IG, and that is the if you can use it with or without it, it can still be classified as a software module, right? And the new IG adding more processors like AMD and ARM and the IBM Power processor, which is a good thing. And it also includes a new category called the processor algorithm implementation. And the non-PAI currently is the IBM CPAC-F, CP assist for the cryptography functions. Okay. But does that solve the problem once for all? I think not. Now, if that hardware accelerator is not part of the general purpose CPU, if it is a specially designed hardware chip, and it functions as a plug-in and a play, and it's often provided by the third party, and the software vendor has no control over it. Software module will take advantage of such a hardware component when it exists in your platform. So will a software module run a platform with such a hardware component turn into a hybrid module? The same pattern of the question repeats here, right? And what I want to say is the current IG seems like you defined whether the PAA or PAI, and that is special treatment for that. But I think the question actually should be reversed. The first question to ask is the module designed to have the self-contained software functions? If it is, then that is a software. If it is designed to have its self-contained functions. And then second question would be, if your underlying platform provides you some hardware acceleration, are you designed to take advantage of it? So we think the order of these two questions was reversed in the IG-121. And the fix that we would like to propose is to generalize the idea of PAA or PAI and replace it to be hardware crypto accelerators. Then related to it, and in the up layer, the definition giving for the hybrid is in the IG-19. If IG-19 can be updated accordingly to address this issue, I think that will make everything consistent. And if we can just say that if software or firmware component can only support a crypto algorithm by exclusively using an independent disjoint hardware component, that would be the truly hybrid. Otherwise, it's still a software module. Right. And if the CMP is considering to updating the IG-19, we would like to propose scratch out that level one restriction. Whether it's going to be level one or level two, leave it to all the FIPS requirement. If each every section and such a module is going to meet the requirement of level two, and so be it. And we think the level one restriction is a little bit ad hoc for that. And with that suggested changes, if the CMP is going to adopt, and we will see a happy ending.
And for what can only be described as a tumultuous event so far.
Indeed, Bob. The fate of a young star performer hangs in the balance. We'll now go to Coach Chesta and find out the judge's decision.
We protested the judge's decision and took the issue to the Olympic Committee. We argued that the fire on Libra's skates does not change the exact pattern of her performance. It only helps her to finish her routine faster. We suggested letting Libra perform with and without having the fire on her skates, and so prove to the judges that both cases will produce the exact same pattern of traces. The Olympic Committee approved our proposal.
Oh, this is wonderful news. Oh, and there she goes. Look at her technique and grace.
Brings tears to my eyes.
And now the second run. This is astonishing speed. And it looks exactly the same. Not a single deviation. Truly amazing and correct.
And the crowd goes wild. No question we have a winner. And the judges are giving their scores. 10, 10, 10, and a 10 from the Eastern European judge. A perfect score for Libra versus Tila.
And there's our happy winner, receiving her certificate.
But wait! There seems to be some confusion about the category.
Oh, this is embarrassing. It still says software hybrid module on it.
In my 22 years of reporting, I've never seen this happen.
The coach sent an emergency change request letter to the committee, and it looks like they fixed it.
That was crazy, but here's our winner in the software module category.
Well, what a wonderful event. I am looking forward to the 6th ICMC Crypto Olympics, especially the subchip module snowball fight.
Yes, it'll be marvelous, no doubt. Thanks to our audience for tuning in, and start booking advance tickets now for the next Crypto Olympics, while there's no review pending queue for the moment.
Okay, yeah, I think our time is up and the people waiting for game to start. And you can catch me in the hallway or anywhere if you have any questions. I'll be happy to answer you. Thank you.